I want to just bow my head with you. Because without him, we can't do anything correctly. We make a lot of noise. That's about all. So I bow my head with you and I ask for God's release of his anointing so that we can see more clearly than ever before what he's prepared for us and what he wants for us and from us. In Jesus' name. Amen? So not just to reiterate what we were into on Sunday, the Lord did some very different work on Sunday. And I was very, very blessed that the saints were able to come. And we did intercede for those of you who were at home. And it's not a blame game. It was an honor to lift you guys up. We were in Luke chapter 2 in the Amplified, and that's where I'd like to go back to. Because we didn't complete the journey. But if you have a little bit of time in the next couple of days, especially before Christmas, try to take in Luke chapter 2, because it's going to stress how Mary was in Bethlehem, and in verse 7 she gave birth to her son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room or place for them in the hotel. Well, there's room for us in the hotel because God kept us here. And I reminded those on Sunday that, well, I would say 7 years ago, maybe eight, we had a wonderful lady from Albany, New York that came and visited with us and taught us during the Passover feast about why Jesus was born in a manger. And I shared that, and I'm going to repeat it because some of you may not realize why he was born in a manger and why Bethlehem. She made a comment, and she says, history proves that every single year the high priest would leave Jerusalem and walk over to Bethlehem to examine the lamb that had been born to make sure that there was one that was perfect for the sacrifice. And it had to be born in the city of David. Now, have you ever heard of a lamb being born inside of a hotel? How many of you have heard of lambs being born in a manger? Think of it. He was the lamb. He had to be born in the fields where all the other lambs were born. See, God is so precise that to take this wonderful lady who said yes to such a test. And I was talking to Al and Jan today, and your wonderful cousin made a comment to me, and she says, have you ever heard? And she begins to tell me this wonderful story about Mary. And her story was, well, could Mary have said no? Yeah. She could have said no. How many know God gave her grace to say yes? How many have had a job that they had to do and just didn't want to do it? And when it came time to say yes or no, for some odd reason you went and opened up your mouth and you said yes anyway. And you feel so stupid saying yes because everything in you is saying, no, I don't want to do this. But you say yes. That's grace. Did God know ahead of time that she would say yes? Did he love her?
Yes.
Did he fill her with grace?
Yes.
Did he fill you with grace?
Yes.
Sometimes you're going to say yes when you don't want to. Because your flesh is going to say, I'm not going there. And your attitude is going to be, no way. But you're going to be pushed inside of you to go forward. Not knowing what's really happening and what's really needed. Okay? So, she gave birth to her son. her firstborn, and it was in a manger. Now, the next level comes where not the hierarchy of the nation comes to visit, but the shepherds. And we talked about that on Sunday. But verse 20 says, the shepherds return glorifying God, praising God for all things that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. Okay? And everything fell into place because God was in the control room. Amen? But verse 19 says, Mary kept keeping within herself all these things, weighing and pondering them in her heart. Well, what were the things that she had heard? It was the angel that first visited. It was also the other things that were going on in her life. The shepherds came and they said about the angels that came and the trumpets that had blown, glorifying God. So the first visitors are shepherds. Shepherds take care of who? Who's the lamb? You got to have some shepherds. Now remember, Joseph is a carpenter. So is he really representing the one that's going to take care of the sheep? No, but the shepherds are there. And they're the first ones to show up. And they give their account. Now, the next level comes in verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem. They're in the temple now, dedicating the son, whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, cautiously and carefully observing the divine law and looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been divinely revealed, communicated to him by the Holy Spirit, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now, see, we sometimes think we are prompted by the Lord, we're anointed of the Lord, we have the anointing on the inside, but sometimes there's extra that comes from the outside. How many know? There's an anointing that comes and you do something and you say, my God, this is totally out of character for me. What in the world am I doing? This is so strange. But verse 27 says, and prompted by the Holy Spirit, he came into the temple enclosure, and when the parents brought in the little child Jesus to do for him what was customary according to the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and praised and thanked God and said, now just imagine Mary and Joseph. And here's this elderly gentleman picking up their baby, and he's just celebrating, wonderful, wonderful, look at what God has done. Do you think they looked at each other? It's kind of strange. Yes, they've got words of knowledge before, but this is not normal. Amen? The Lord, verse 29, and now, Lord, you are releasing your servant to depart. Leave this world in peace, according to your word. For in my eyes I have seen your salvation, which you have ordained and prepared before all peoples, and actually in the presence of all people. And a light, did you hear that? A light for revelation to the Gentiles, to disclose what was before unknown, and to bring praise and honor and glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother were marveling at what was said about him. How many know there are times when you reach a mountain, you reach a plateau, where God is really blessing and really just filling you up and preparing you, but then later on, 10, 20 years, 30 years, oh my God, where did I get myself into? How many know what I'm talking about? There's a crisis that comes and you end up realizing, oh my God, God has given me all this preparation, all this grace, so that I can go through this test now. Yeah. And that happens for all of us. So there's a season of building up, but there's also a season of testing. Verse 34. Simeon blessed them. So now he's blessing who? The mom and dad. Behold, this child is appointed and destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against. And it's confirmed in Isaiah 8, verse 14 and 15. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the secret thoughts and purposes of many hearts may be brought out and disclosed. And there was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, having lived with her husband 7 years from her maidenhood. And as a widow, even for 84 years, she did not go out from the temple enclosure. Very important to see. She did not go out from the temple enclosure, but was worshiping night and day with fasting and prayer. Oh, you're wasting your time, all this intercession stuff. You're just wasting all your energy, and look at what God is doing. He can do it without you just opening your mouth. What are you wasting your time for? Why are you doing what you're doing? Now, what do you say to that? Be quiet. Get out. You're not the author of my salvation. You're the deceiver, the liar, the one that brings deception. This woman was still on the job at 84 years old. And she was faithful. She was still fasting and praying. She hadn't seen anything yet. 84 years. Yeah. Think about it. She wasn't quitting. Because everybody's supposed to retire at 60, 70 years old. She was 84. She was refired every day. Every day. She did not give in. So you see, there's a reason for this. Is the church fully alive in Christ yet? No. So who's going to do the interceding?
We do.
We are. We are going to pray until God is formed in us. Until He manifests Himself in us fully. And we won't be fighting all this other junk forever. There's going to be a season of transition. And it's happening. It's preparing. It's preparing time. Okay? And she too came up that same hour, verse 38. And she returned, thanks to God, and talked of Jesus to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Notice again, they're looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Did they get it? Not the way they expected. They had their focus on the flesh. Many saints today are making the same mistakes. They've got their focus on the flesh. And the real spirit person is Christ Jesus within us, coming alive in a deeper way than ever before. And He's going to do some house cleaning in us. His fire is not just going to be extinguished. It's going to come to life on multiples of levels. 39. And when they had done everything according to the law of the Lord, they went back into Galilee to their own town, Nazareth. And the child grew, became strong in spirit. Became strong in spirit. Verse 40. Look at it. What does it say?
Strong in spirit.
Why is it important to see in spirit?
Because it's not the strength of the flesh that we're looking for.
Do you think Joseph got upset with him?
Of course.
Yes, of course.
He was a kid.
Right. He was probably pulling all the kinds of tricks, doing all kinds of normal things, but he was also growing in spirit. He wasn't acting like a normal carpenter's boy. Was he a carpenter? Yes, he was. But more so, he was the Son of the Most High. And that's the part that's going to be tested on you and I. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. If you are the Son of God, go ahead, do this, do that. If you are the Son of God, get yourself off this cross right now. If. If you're developed in your spirit, you'll be able to respond correctly. If you're developed in your flesh, you're going to fall. Hate to say it, but the carnal church is going to flip. And the very people that will accuse you is that very church.
Yep.
And I'm warning you. The Holy Spirit is wanting us to become strong in the Spirit, filled with wisdom and grace, favor and spiritual blessing. Why? So that we don't join the depression. Yeah? Do you think God wants us to join the depression?
No.
No way. I want you to bow your heads now. Say,
Lord Jesus,
give me the revelation
that I need to develop my spirit
and to grow and mature in the spirit. If it was good enough for Jesus,
it should be good enough for me.
Create a hunger
inside of me
so that I can become
a man or a woman of the Spirit
and be obedient
on every level,
spirit, soul, and body.
Amen.
And amen. God's peace be with you. And we also want you to know, Thursday night, there will not be a Bible study. Yeah, we're going to give a praise report, and then after that, we're going to give you prayer requests. Yes, praise report, sir.
I don't know if anyone's heard of Mike Bickle's International House of Prayer over in Kansas City, Missouri. We've been taking some time fasting and praying about it because it needed to be God in order for us to go out there. We definitely knew that God put it on our hearts to go. We took the time, we prayed about it, we offered all these things up to God. Every door just opened up. And it was just amazing to sit back and watch it. I mean, the first signs were me, Damien, and Heather that are going out there. Me and Damien are the only servers at my job. We're the only full-time servers. So for us to request a week off, especially with him still on probation period, that's asking a lot of a company. My boss just kind of looks at us. He goes, well, I need to make a few phone calls, but I want to honor both of your requests for the full time. We actually got that week off plus time before and after. So it's just absolutely amazing the way that door opened up. We were just able to see like 7 nights of hotels is going to cost us the price of one with our discount. And we were staying at a hotel with free breakfast and everything. Just opened up that door for us to be able to go and just... and enjoy and be in a comfortable atmosphere. We kind of were tested the other day because our plane tickets, right when we went to purchase them, we were unable to. And when we refreshed the page, how did you tell us that? Did you do it all?
They were looking like they were like $234 for a ticket, and I tried to go and order them, and it was saying they couldn't process it because I think they were in the midst of changing the prices. So when they finally adjusted everything, we went back $350 for the tickets. They went up over $100. But I was able to get on last night and separate it into one-way trips there and back and get it for $250.
Cool.
We've received some money just to go. God's just been faithful. You know, when you offer it to him and sow into the kingdom and say, God, if you want me here, then you're going to be faithful to provide everything. And he's just right and left. He's pouring out different things, opening doors. So just like what you were saying with your testimony, it's just amazing to see the faithfulness of God.
Yeah.
He's good.
Praise God.
House of Prayer, Kansas City, Missouri.
When are you going?
Mike Bickle.
Oh, Mike Bickle.
Friday, we're leaving.
They're leaving this week, Friday.
It's called the One Thing Conference. We do it once a year. So it's a 4-day conference to bring in the new year.
Oh, wow.
And we're all jealous because we're going with you.
Yeah.
Good.
Mm-hmm. I would like.
Uh-oh, your last shirt.
She didn't lose it. It's lodged somewhere.
I'm not going to know where.
I lost mine twice. Mom lost hers, I don't know how many times.
It's there, honey.
Yep.
It's up there.
Little, remember my son's puppy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The little one
puppy. I'm asking for additional prayer because it's the enemy's getting in there and it's got an infection.
Okay.
So,
but God's able.
God's more than able. Yes.
Very good.
He's a great physician, and we're trusting him all the way to my son can see them. The glory is not
amen.
Him or anybody else is God.
I also have a praise report that I want to give you. 15 years ago. Or between 13 and 15 years ago, my wife lost her diamond ring for the second time. The first time she lost just the diamond, which was like 26 years ago. And so on our 25th anniversary, we had to buy a new ring setting for her and had the diamond reset. Several years later, obviously, she lost the ring. And we had prayed, and the first time, the Holy Spirit actually told me in a vision to go and empty out the bag from the Electrolux. And at that time, we had a white poodle who wore rhinestone collars.
Whoa.
And the enemy told me as I'm trying to shuffle through with a razor blade, trying to find this one diamond, instead... Sure enough, I found this wonderful sparkling thing, and I picked it up, and she's already crying in bed, and she's trying to hide herself under the cushions. And I went upstairs, and I said, Irene, I believe this is your diamond. And she said the exact same word that Satan had been telling me. It's a rhinestone from the dog's collar. But when we put it into the setting, it fit perfect. And, of course, then we were told that it was diamond when it was examined. Well, several years later, after the new setting was put on, she lost it. Last Tuesday night, Gabriella, our faithful little granddaughter, great-granddaughter, decided that she was going to climb onto the shelf that opens up the dryer. The dryer has a shelf that comes out, you know, at the door. And so she climbed on it, and of course it broke. So... in order for Irene to get the dryer door to close again, she had to put the hinge back in, and she went and got a hammer, and she started to pound. And as she pounded, pop, out came the diamond ring. And she had been so long without it and forgot about the new setting that she thought, oh, my God, this is somebody's ring. So she brought it upstairs, and she showed it to my grandson, and he said, Mom, this is your diamond. It matches Pepe's wedding band, because they're the same pattern, except hers has the solitaire. Sure enough, the next night she showed it to me, and she says, is this my diamond? And I says, yes, it is. So what is God doing?
Everything.
He's doing everything, exactly. And he's doing it according to his timing.
Yep.
Now, I would have found it, you know, a few days after the prayer, not 13 or 15 years later.
Been tumbling all those years.
But he's never late.
Actually, is in the inside the door all those years.
Preserved.
Well, that's what I told her. I said, look at that. It's got no wear and tear. All it needs to go is to be straightened out. So we give all the glory and honor to Jesus Christ because he had his eye on that ring all these times. Because we could have traded in the dryer because it was repaired several times, but it was still good, so we kept it. So may the anointing that is upon this entire house. Touch every family member this Christmas season.
Yes, Lord.
And touch those that are going to be visiting with you. Whether you're going to visit them or you have them coming to visit you, they will be blessed.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor,
amen,
we're going to give out blessings.
They will be blessed.
Somebody will be blessed.
And they will be blessed if they visit with us.
Amen.
Amen. That's it.